Turn to John chapter 1. Our focus this morning is going to be on verses 6 through 8 of John chapter 1. let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful for just being able to state a few moments ago those names, Lord, each one important to who you are, but also, Lord, each one important to us today, because they're descriptive, Lord, of your work in our hearts and in our lives and in our world. And Lord, we're blessed this morning to be able to be here and to be able to worship you. And we thank you for the music, the songs that we were able to sing, and the ministry that they were to our own hearts today. And we ask, Lord, today that as we open your word, that your word would minister to us as well. And that, Lord Jesus, that you would be lifted up in this place, that you would be honored and glorified. For that is why we are here today, to bring honor and glory and praise to your name. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. You know, one of the things that I think is important, I don't know if you've thought much about it or not, but the thought came to me over this past week as I was preparing to speak this morning is what is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? What do you live for today? Where do you find meaning in life? The world's philosophy, the world in which we live today, is that we do whatever it takes to make us happy. By pursuing that philosophy, we make it our purpose in life to be happy, so that life inevitably is all about us. Our culture feeds us a lie, that it's all about me. Maybe you've heard of that before. Think about it in this way. Advertisers understand this philosophy as they emphasize what's important to us is all that really matters. Because in our modern Western world, in many ways, if you think about it, we are brainwashed into believing that we are the center of our own little universe. Life revolves around me, is how many consciously and unconsciously approach life. And so as a result, our lives become our purpose and our reason for living. We live for ourselves. After all, it's all about me. A catchphrase that has risen to popularity in churches in recent years and stands juxtaposed to the philosophy of our world today is, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Have you heard that before? If you haven't heard that phrase before, then you probably haven't listened to some of the sermons that I've preached, because I've used that before here. It's more than a catchphrase, though. It really is more than a catchphrase for us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, for those who live it out in life, it exposes our life's purpose. Today's text focuses on a person who throughout his life epitomized that catchphrase. It's not all about you. His name is John the Baptist. Have you ever heard of him before? Familiar name? Very quickly, the Apostle John reveals John the Baptist's purpose to us. Look at verses 6 through 8. He said the following about him. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The words God sent a man, we've been going through chapter 1 here in John, they sound rather familiar, I would think. And at first, they sound like it could be introducing the Word made flesh that we saw earlier, the living Logos, Jesus, the Son of God. But no, this man is someone else. And it's not all about you or not all about me, might have been one of his catchphrases in life. We could literally translate verse 6 as a man came from God, whose name was John. Now that verb, came, used here is the same verb that is used in verse 3, which literally translated, it speaks about Jesus, literally translated is through the word, all things came into existence. Without him, nothing came into existence that has come into existence. That's the literal translation. John came, but Jesus didn't come. At least not in the same way as John the Baptist. Instead, everything else came through Jesus, including John the Baptist. It's true that John the Baptist came on the scene a little earlier in history than Jesus. He was 6 months older than Jesus, and he started his public ministry long before Jesus. But Jesus, as we saw earlier in the chapter, is the source of everything that exists. This is how John saw himself. And he put it this way in verses 15 and then later on in verse 30 of this same chapter. It says in verse 15, John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" So John understood this. And so as we move along, as we come to verses 7 and 8, the Apostle John relates the idea of the superiority of Jesus. John the Baptist was sent by God. Why was he sent? Why was he sent? Anybody? To prepare the way. Thank you. We got somebody from Wisconsin that had to answer that question this morning. Thank you, brother. To prepare the way. To tell about the light, it says in verse 7, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. John the Baptist was a witness to the light. That in and of itself is a tremendous privilege when you think about it. He was a witness to the light. John the Baptist plays a very integral role in history, in the history of our salvation, in the history of redemption. But Jesus alone is the light. John is a witness to that light. This, I believe, is a reminder to all of us as followers of Christ that, like John, we are secondary, but Jesus is primary. My friends, it's not all about you, and it's not all about me. It's not all about our ministry, not about my ministry or your ministry. It's not all about what we achieve in this world. It's not all about how people view us. It's not all about our acclaim in life. For us as followers of Christ, it's all about Him. Lest you think I'm somehow doing John the Baptist a great disservice in not giving him the kudos that he deserves, listen to his own message. If you look a little further in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, John says this, tells us there, John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I am not even worthy to be his slave and to untie the straps of his sandal." What's John the Baptist doing here? What's he doing? He is a witness to the identity of Christ. He is pointing other people to Jesus. Later on in the chapter, if we go a little further in verses 35 to 39, we read the story of two people who were John's disciples. And it says there, the following day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and he saw them following. And he says, what do you guys want? And they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Well, he said, come and see. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And when they went with him to the place where he was staying, they remained there with him for the rest of the day. What does John do with his own disciples? Those people who followed him in life, what does he do? He points them to Jesus. He points them to Jesus. And so they leave him, and what do? They follow Jesus. For John, it was not about him. It was about Jesus. It was not about him building a large group of followers and a ministry and a name for himself. But it was about pointing people to Jesus. He was a witness to the truth of Jesus' identity. Today, many American churches follow pastors instead of following Jesus. Large churches are scattered across the landscape of our nation, and they're built primarily on the pastor's personality and on a watered-down message of the gospel, so that people are attracted to a man rather than to the Savior. John the Baptist knew his purpose. It was not to establish a name for himself. And though the great crowds of people flocked to him to his wilderness sanctuary to hear what he had to say, to hear his message, what did he do? He always pointed people to Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read, just as the prophet Isaiah had written, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. In life and ministry, John the Baptist was the fulfillment of that prophecy that was made 700 years before Christ even was born. John was the fulfillment of that prophecy. He pointed people to Jesus, who is the light of the world. Now, many of us, unlike John the Baptist, so easily become preoccupied with our own status. And that's because the world in which we live in supports that type of philosophy. In times of conflict, in social situations, in our careers, and believe it or not, even in our church meetings, we have a tendency to make it all about ourselves. We can maneuver to promote ourselves in order to contribute further to our own interests. But in these moments, we need to tell ourselves this. Jesus must become greater. I must become less. Jesus must become greater. I must become less. Have you ever told yourself that? If not, today might be a good time to start. How do you react when things don't go your way? When it's not all about you? You'll remember that John the Baptist was arrested, right? He lost his head over his ministry, right? What happens? What happens when things are not all about you, when they don't go your way? Personally, I don't shout and stomp my feet like a toddler when I don't get my way. That's not my particular style. But believe it or not, I've known adults who have done that. Adults who have done that even in church meetings. Nobody here, by the way, but, you know, I've seen it in the past. I remember from a former church where Ruth and I served, we had an ethnic congregation that rented space from our church. And one Sunday afternoon, the pastor and the elders of that church, they were meeting, and they were at odds with each other. Neither was getting their own way. And so a fist fight broke out among the leaders right there in the church. You believe that? Pastor and elders duking it out right in the church. It was an alliance church, too. So that's not something to be proud of. But that's what happened. You know, some folks, when they don't get their way, they'll do whatever it takes to get it. Some will simply try to manipulate people or circumstances because it's all about them. The problem I face when I make things about me is that I feel miserable at the end of the whole process. What sets me free when I find myself in these circumstances, when I realize that I'm trying to make something about me, is listening to the Holy Spirit as He whispers this thought into my head. Ed, it's not about you. And quite honestly, those are not easy words to listen to, but words that penetrate deep down into my soul. And I come up with this: I must decrease, but Jesus must increase. I must decrease so that Jesus might increase. As I've aged, this truth dawns on me more quickly than in my more youthful and spirited days. And as it does, the conflict suddenly doesn't matter much anymore, because I'm cognizant of the fact that it is not all about me. From John the Baptist's life, we can learn and apply much to our lives that will be a blessing to the body of Christ, that will be a blessing to us personally, and it will be a blessing to a community that needs to see light in the midst of darkness. In verse 8, the Apostle John described John the Baptist as simply a witness. Wow. Simply a witness. That's not much of a title, is it? John the Baptist, simply a witness. The Apostle John doesn't introduce him as, this is Dr. John the Baptist, or Bishop John, or Apostle John, or even Evangelist John, or Father John, or for that matter, Pastor John. No, this is John the Baptist, simply a witness. Simply a witness. Shouldn't that be a good description of you and me as followers of Christ? I'd like that as my title. Ed Shook, simply a witness. When you come right down to it, what makes you and I special as Christians is not our accomplishments. It's not our degrees or our work for the kingdom of God, but that we are witnesses to the light of the world. That's what makes us special. John the Baptist came so that through his witness, all might believe in Jesus. This was his simple purpose in life, one which he brought glory to God by pointing people away from himself and pointing them to Jesus. What's your purpose? Where do you find meaning in life? On what are you focused? What is your life's purpose? What determines your goals and your priorities in this life in which we live? What are you living for today? If you were honest with yourself this morning, I'm not asking you to stand up and tell us the honesty of your heart right now, but if you were honest with yourself this morning, is the answer found in the phrase, it's all about me? I mean, really, be honest. If your purpose is to be happy, and you find that fulfilled in any number of different ways, think about it this way. If your purpose is to be happy and to find that fulfilled by being physically fit and living a healthy lifestyle through exercise and diet, what happens if you're diagnosed with cancer? It does happen. Even if you eat right. Think about this. If you live for your children or your spouse, and that's where you find purpose and happiness in life, what happens when they walk away or disavow you? If you live to make as much money as you can, if making money is what makes you happy, what happens when the stock market crashes and you lose a lifetime of savings? what happens. If your purpose for living is you live for your reputation, what happens when you're slandered? If your purpose is that you live for your career and what you do in life, and that gives you happiness, what happens when you lose your job? Those statements and many more characterize the society that we live in and the purpose for which many people live their lives. And there are many more that we could have added this morning. Unfortunately, we as Christians, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us might find ourselves pursuing similar things. Our pursuit is to find happiness in this world. We want to be happy. And money makes me happy. Exercise makes me happy. You know, my career makes me happy. My family makes me happy. But what if your purpose fails? What then? What then? John the Baptist saw his purpose in life to be simply a witness. One who pointed those lost in darkness to the light of the world. And by doing so, he brought glory and honor to Christ. For him, that was enough. He lived a fulfilled life. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for me today? If your life's overall purpose is to bring glory to God by simply being a witness, then you too can accomplish that purpose, whether you're healthy or struggling with disease. You can accomplish that purpose whether you have a happy, loyal family or are disowned by them. You can accomplish that purpose whether you're a billionaire or on welfare. You can accomplish that purpose whether you have a sterling reputation or it's been stolen from you. You can accomplish that purpose of being simply a witness and bringing honor and glory to God, whether you climb to the top of your career ladder or drop to the lowest rung. It doesn't matter. You and I can bring glory to God in whatever state we find ourselves in. And that is a purpose that is worth living for. This Christmas, as we remember the coming of Christ, may we make it our purpose to follow John's example and to decrease so that Christ might increase. May we make it our purpose to bring glory to God by simply being a witness to the light of Christ who is in our lives. Real, genuine happiness and joy for the follower of Christ will only come when we decide to focus our lives on Him and make it all about Jesus and not about me. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this time of year when we have an opportunity to remember Your coming. We thank You, Lord, that You have provided us with such wonderful examples of what really matters in life. And we thank You for John the Baptist, for his life, his ministry, and his willingness to even die, to be simply a witness to the light of the world. Lord, I pray that as we in these next days approach Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, that we would see the purpose for which You have designed for all of us, that we too might simply be a witness for You. Lord, there are so many around us, people in our own families, people in our communities, people in our workplaces who need to see the light of Christ. They don't need to see anyone else like them, Lord. They need to see You, Lord Jesus, shining through us. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would simply be your witnesses to the light of the world, to the light of Christ that is in us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?